You're with Raf Epstein on ABC Radio Melbourne.
So to be clear, the government want to ban what they call harmful religious-based practices, prayer-based practices. So it's anything from exorcisms to deliverance or a spiritual guidance that is in some way designed to overcome same-sex attraction. Patrick McIver joins us from Melbourne. He went through a conversion program. He now identifies as both Christian and gay. Patrick, thanks for having a word to us.
No worries, Raf. Thanks for having me on.
Whose idea was it that you go through some sort of quote-unquote conversion program?
So I was about 15 when I decided to move out of home and 3 hours away from Melbourne to a country town because my family was part of a fundamentalist church there. And I'd grown up with that kind of messaging that is common in Pentecostal circles, around there's no such thing as gay. It's a choice that people have. It's a choice that other people outside of our church make. No one like you is gay, and it's a sin, and gays go to hell, and, you know, all that standard messaging. So, you know, when I started going through a hard time of it in high school, I really felt not okay and that I needed to get right with God and get help. So I actually moved out of home and joined a church that I knew would be able to kind of, air quotes, help me.
What did it look like, the quote-unquote help?
So it was quite informal, really, and it was quite loving and supportive because it was based on an ideology that if you're gay or if you have a different gender identity than what you thought, that, you know, you're somehow broken. And then what tends to get mixed in with that is actually a whole lot of non-religious kind of pseudo-psychological stuff around your childhood and around your development. So with me, it looked initially just like conversations with my pastor and with other men in the church that he'd asked me to speak with. And it would be around like, oh, well, your father was absent, or, you know, your parents did this or they didn't do that, critical development points. But then it would also be around having certain demons in me or agreeing to certain things that I shouldn't have, or it was really speculative and kind of halfway between psychological and religious.
Was it traumatic then, and is it traumatic now, those conversations?
So those conversations then led to a referral to a more formal kind of program, and that went for about 20 fortnights, so almost a year. And that was really to help me sort of come to terms with getting ready for marriage to the woman that I was about to marry. So I suppose trauma is such an interesting thing because it's something that actually happens so silently and so internally. And a whole lot of claims get made that really cut right to the core of who you are. It takes this broad messaging that's always existed in, you know, different groups, and then makes it extremely personal and very conditional. And so I guess the coercive part of it is you receive these messages about how you're destined for hell, and so you need to change. And so then there's this kind of illusion that that I've opted into the program and asked to change, or that I've asked for someone to help, when really, I've been told by so many different sources that I'm going to hell, or that I'm broken, or that something must have happened to me that was really traumatic, or something like that. So I guess, you know, you ask what the kind of traumatic aspect is like. I only came out at 33 years old in January this year, and I'm still actually coming to terms with what that means, and I'm still actually recovering from what I've been through, which lasted for about 15 years.
So when there are people in the Liberal Party saying it should be legal, and this is the email that Tim Smith responded so angrily to, someone who used to have a position as an official, she's now just a member but still very active, saying she emailed all Victorian state MPs saying it should be legal for people to attend a prayer group to reverse their sexuality. Just away from the politics and the legality, a prayer group to reverse their sexuality. What was the impact of something like that on you?
No, it shouldn't be legal. And I just want to take a step back to explain a bit about where this bill comes from, because it's not some Daniel Andrews thought bubble of, you know, how can we kind of mess up the libs this year. It actually comes from a lot of hard work for many years from survivors of conversion practices. So the Brave Network and SOGI survivors and other groups around Melbourne and Victoria have actually been putting research into this. They've actually been gathering together stories. They've been partnering with universities. We had in 2017, the Health Complaints Commissioner did a report into it. I was a witness in that inquiry along with other people. There's been work progressively done. There's been research, and now it's come to a point where this is actually the culmination of very well-considered policy. And actually, a lot of survivors are still religious people. This is not a case of God versus the gays. It's not a case of religious freedom against the zero-sum game of, you know, LGBTQ lobbyists or something. All of that part of the debate is imagined, and all it does is fuel other people's political aims inside the Liberal Party or the Labor Party or whatever. This is actually about preventing further harm that is still going on in all sorts of subcultures. And I know that there's some people that say, you know, especially people around Melbourne that say, well, oh my goodness, how can this still be happening in 2020? But the reality is the world's bigger than just the community that you grew up in. There's actually plenty of subcultures out there, and unfortunately a lot of them are faith groups where they're actually supposed to be, you know, giving life to people, not inflicting this horrible, silent, lifelong harm, where this is still going on. The place that you are most unsafe as a queer person these days is if you grow up in a fundamentalist religious church, and that shouldn't be the case. The government shouldn't have to make this law, but unfortunately it does.
Patrick, I just want to go back a bit. You mentioned that you were in this or part of this for a while, and I asked this question recognising it's kind of a horrible question, but did you think you would not be gay at the end of this?
I actually wasn't promised that. And I don't know if it's all too common for that. The man that ran it with me once did the program when he was much younger, and all I was promised was to be able to suppress it enough to live good enough for God.
So could just repeat that phrase? You could suppress it long enough to be what?
You know, suppress it enough to live without sin.
Right.
So I don't think I ever believed that I would be without it, and that was part of the silent pain of it, was walking down the street and just simply constantly trying to find a way to punish myself to stop feeling. And eventually I did. I actually just stopped feeling.
Sounds terrible, Patrick. You don't want to end up in a place where you stop feeling?
I think it was around about that point that I started to realise that any faith activity that actually heals your soul or your spirit that way is just simply toxic. And it wasn't good for me. So I had to try and start unpacking that. And unfortunately, the only place for me to do that was far away from the church that had put me through that. I have to say it makes me mad as hell that the biggest and loudest voices against this bill are actually perpetrators. Some of them are members of my family. Some of them are members of my former church that have organised over 100 people to write letters to their local MP to prevent this from going through, all while denying that they have anything to do with it. Where I come from, that's not faith. Lying and causing harm to people and then lying about doing that and then getting involved in politics to try and keep perpetuating harm is some sense of religious impunity, because somehow if you're in a church, that means you're exempt from causing harm to people. I just think it's something we can do better. We can do better than that. And people talking about, you know, religious freedom as if somehow ministers are going to be the victims in all this. The only people that will get caught up in this are people that are seriously and deliberately causing harm to people.
Yeah.
The Act is not structured to be able to just get everyone and throw them in prison. You actually have to meet a high benchmark to even be able to be investigated by the Commission. If the conduct is not serious, if it's not systemic, the Commission does not have power to investigate. And that's the truth that's been missing from the debate, because it's been deliberately obscured by hard right figures who just want to keep power for themselves.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us and sharing everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're with Raph Epstein